Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. So today is Friday, and you tuned in to The Love Journey Extended. And today is what we call the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, where we overcome underlearning. Yes. Are you controlled by fear? Do you underestimate by your race? But well, stay tuned for another episode of The Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. You tuned in to the Love Journey, and this is Kim, and I am Janine
that there would be peace on earth. All creation, every power, every life would call on his name. Children, love has arrived, and you know the world will never truly be the same.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he's my refuge.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he's my tower, my friend.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
He came to my rescue, and I don't understand it, but I know the love he's given me will never end.
There is joy in the world because my Savior reigns. He's the source of my strength, Lord of lords, King of kings, my salvation, my redeemer, in the face of all I fear. He is love without compromise, and I know that he's the reason that I'm standing here.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
he's my Savior.
Jesus,
he's my Savior.
Jesus,
oh yeah.
Jesus,
cause I know that I will never be the same again. He's my provider, he's my hope when I fall. There when I need him, when nobody else will call, he's right on time. He gave me power, the faith to stand. Hey, thank you, Lord, cause I know that I will never be alone again.
I want to talk to you about Jesus.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Save my life.
Jesus, Jesus is the love of my life.
When I couldn't stand up straight.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is the love of my life.
If it wasn't for Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is the love of my life.
today. I don't deserve it. Lord, I know that you're worth it. So I just ask you.
Just ask Jesus.
And I keep on asking
Jesus. Just ask Jesus. I know.
Lord, I know.
You set me free.
Jesus is the love of my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can call on Jesus.
You can call on
Jesus.
When you need a friend.
Jesus.
When your brother can't be found. You can call on
you
Jesus.
You don't know like I know.
You can call on Jesus.
Heavenly Father,
Lord,
I need you. Good morning, good morning. We tuned in to the Love Journey. That was Kim and Jesus. There was also Ron Isley and, you know, our girl, Patti LaBelle. And that song is called Jesus. Jesus is the love of my life. You tuned in to the Love Journey. They call this a prayer line. I call it an experience. A love experience. So welcome to another episode of the Love Journey. And today is Friday. And you know what that means. We bring forth the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. Wow. Are we under-earning? When it comes to money, are we controlled by fear? Are you ready to go to the next level but can't seem to get there? And if you answer yes to any of these questions, you just might be an under-earner, and you're right in the right place right now. Because this book by Robert Stanning is really giving us a perspective today. All right, family, we're going to get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And then there's one power, one presence. On this line, we recognize that one power, that great spirit, known by many names. We call it God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spark that our God is not. So as we tune in to that mighty I am breath, I want us to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Remember to breathe into the heart. Oh, and remember to release through the mouth as we breathe deep into the diaphragm and then release through the mouth, remembering to breathe into that heart because the heart has wisdom. Breathe, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Let's be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. Let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am, God. Breathe, family, breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am, God. Breathe and release. Divine, precious, and Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the right mind. Come, Holy Spirit, and cleanse our minds and open us up to receive all of your God. I ask you to cleanse every cell in our body, any information, any data, any patterns, any behaviors that is stuck in anything other than the truth, I ask you to release it into the higher mind presence, into the light of you right now, Holy Spirit. Anything that is embedded into the subconscious of our body, into our mind, into our soul, into our organs, I ask you to release it right now, God. I ask you to release it right now, God, in the name of the mighty consciousness of Christ, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit, and release in the cells of our body, God, any fears, any lack, any poverty, anything that's keeping us from the truth of who we are in this right now moment, God. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit. As I come before you today, God, as we lay before you today, God, in the altar of you, any burdens and anything that is on our mind, God, that we know that you are in charge, because you said in your word, God, that if I take care of the lilies of the field and feed the birds in the sky, how much more do you think I'll do for you, God? Come, Holy Spirit, and bless anything that's keeping us, that's blocked, embedded into the depths and the crevices of our mighty, our bodies, our minds, our cells. I ask you to remove it right now and cleanse it as we listen to Ayana Benza.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Many people ask this empowering questions. What's wrong? Who's to blame? Why me? Those questions keep us on a downward spiral of picking up on the database of human consciousness and all of its woes and complaints and fears and doubts and worries that move through the mind of the human experience. The real life visioning process is based upon asking questions that are empowering, that empower us. What's trying to emerge in my life? What gift do I have to give? How much power can flow through me? This is how it works. Behind every problem that we have, there's a question trying to ask itself. Behind every question, there's an answer trying to be revealed. Behind every answer, there's an action trying to be taken. And behind every action, there's a way of life trying to be born. So if you're perennially stuck in disempowering questions, your perception becomes very small, you become reactionary, and the actions that you take are just busyness. Survival busyness has nothing to do with embracing a large goal or a great vision for your life. So we ask, and I implore you to ask powerful questions. We want to ask questions. What gift am I to give to the world? What is trying to emerge in my life? You could even ask, what is my next step to take in the downloading, the articulation, and the living of my vision? Now here's the deal. As you begin to ask empowering questions, you begin to activate the soul faculty of hearing. One of the arts that have been lost in our world is the art of listening. Individuals fail to listen and they fail to comprehend. Listening is a lost art. You want to bring listening back in your spiritual practice. So in life visioning, as we begin to feel that we're surrounded by a universal presence of divine love, we begin to ask the question, what is the vision for my life? What is the universe seeking to express through me? What is the idea that the universe is trying to make as my life? What's trying to emerge? And then we have a moment of pure listening. Without judgment or censorship, we just begin to listen. And that which is called the still, small voice, we begin to understand, after a while becomes the only voice. The chatter in the mind, we no longer hear that. We begin to hear what's trying to emerge. I want you to begin to practice for a moment. I want you to begin, even with your eyes open, first with your eyes open, begin to feel that you're surrounded by an atmosphere of love. The universe is for you, there's nothing against you. Begin to think about times in your life where someone really supported you and loved you. They got you, they understood you. They weren't trying to get anything from you, they just loved you. I want you to feel into that. And I want you to understand that that is just a small figment of how the universe loves you. Just a little bit. But feel into that love right now. Now close your eyes. And feel that you're in a safe environment and you are truly loved. With every breath you take, that feeling of being loved is being amplified. Remember, you're on purpose. You are an on purpose with a purpose to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a way that has never quite happened before. Now ask this question. What idea is the universe trying to express through me? What is seeking to emerge in my life? What is the universe up to as my life? Now listen with that inner ear. What is the universe up to as your life? Not what society wants you to do, not what your parents want you to do, not what your college system wants you to do, not what your religion wants you to do, but this God. God has in store for you, what does the universal presence have in store for you. Listen. See with the inner eye. Feel with your heart. And allow it to articulate itself to you. This is a vision. It's not in the future. It's in you right now, even though it will take time to manifest and become visible. It's speaking to you right now. What is the universe up to as my life? We're going to do one more question. Of course, in the entire life visioning process, there's 5 questions and contemplations we go through, but we're going to go through 2 of them right now. The next one is, what must I become to manifest the vision that I am beginning to see? Coming is our growing edge. Where must I grow? Where must I unfold? What habits must change? What thought patterns must dissolve? What must I become? Listen. Ear. With the ear, beyond ear. There is a master vision for your life. You are loaded and coded with it. It does not come from external sources. It's within you. You are now participating in your own unfolding by asking empowering questions. Ultimately, saying yes. When you say yes, when you speak the dynamic yes, the divine yes, the universal presence has an access point to express through. The presence can only do for you what it can do through you. It can't do for you what it can't do through you. You're giving permission with the yes and with the right questions. Say yes. Say yes to your greatness. Say yes to the elegance. Say yes to the beauty. Say yes to the permanent prosperity. Say yes to capital S success. Say yes to life. You don't have to pray to God. God is praying that you let God through your sacred yes. Are you willing?
Anybody going?
Oh, I apologize. I didn't know my phone was on.
I think. That there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it take your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them, but I believe God and time are synonymous, and through time God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love, and pay attention.
Thank you so much.
Oh, All right, we tuned in to the Love Journey. They call this a prayer line. I call it an experience, a love experience. Welcome to your love experience. Welcome to this new day where all things are washed away. We want to take a few minutes and just send love out to all the veterans, all those who gave up their life, all those who spent time in the military. We just want to send out some love from the Love Journey to all our veterans today as we get ready to move into another episode of, the Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, as we honor Chastity A. Wells, who happened to be a veteran family. So let's send a lot of love today to our very own veteran right here on this line as we open up the lines to allow her to come in. We send lots of love to someone who gave time in the military. And love into Chastity A. Wells. Welcome this morning, and I salute you and honor you, my sister, as a veteran this morning.
You guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you so much, Janine. Good morning, Love Journey. Good morning to everybody online. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So, all right, thank you so much. Yes, to everybody that not only did I serve with or who served as well, happy Veterans Day to you all as well. So on this Veterans Day, I'm trying to get as many free items as possible. So if y'all got a more comprehensive list, y'all make sure y'all send it to me, okay?
I'm just teasing.
This morning, we're going to continue on with Overcoming Under Earning, which is our five-step plan to a richer life by Barbara Fanning. And I want to apologize in advance, guys, for my background noise, just because I'm out taking care of business early this morning. So people may still keep talking to me, even though I'm on the phone and trying to stay focused here with you guys. So just work with me. Where we left off last week, Denise, I really wanted us to pick back up on that as well, and as we continue to move forward here this morning and continuing on. One of the things that we had left off talking about last week was one of our journal exercises, which I thought was really powerful. It was really able to help me clarify things in my own mind and what subconsciously I was playing out. And I'm sure it would do the same for others as we all continue to be committed to the journey of overcoming under earning. One of the questions after we took a deep breath and relaxed our mind was, the earliest memory is regarding money, and you had to write those things down, and we were able to get clear. And so I shared mine, and then we also talked about the decisions. What decisions did I make in this moment? So whether it was not receiving a gift, or whether you heard your parents arguing about money and the different things that you even shared, Janine, what did we take away from that experience? Because it's what we took away from that experience is typically the things that we continue to play out as adults. So that was a powerful thing that we continue to go over and really discuss. And then we led into our deepest values, where we were able to clarify our actual values. And remember, it was a pretty extensive list, but it was very, very, very important that we talked about this and really come up with our values and understanding what our values were. And prior to me actually even doing this, I had expressed last week as well, which many people probably have felt me on that, is I really never even looked at many of these things as values, like achievement, acceptance, adventure, freedom, God, influence, education, love, making a difference, parenting, wherever those different things were for you or for myself. A lot of times I didn't even look at it as actual value. but we must actually clarify our values, because those are the things that we really should line our life up with. Everything should be lined up based on our values. And that's where we truly do and create a breakthrough of overcoming under-earning. So today we're going to pick up in the wake of our decision. So it says here, once you make a conscious and a solid decision, three things will happen. Three things. You'll have coincidence, changes in other areas of your life, and resistance. Guaranteed. All I can do is laugh about the resistance. Definitely the coincidence, I definitely understand, and changes in life, but the resistance is something that's pretty funny to me still, because I know there's times that I still have to push myself past my own resistance. I'm sure other people can attest to that as well, right? So starting with coincidence, as a source that was quoted here, it was an unknown source, they said coincidences are God's way of acting anonymously. Couldn't speak this morning. So coincidences are God's way of acting anonymously. I think that's really powerful for us really to hold on to. And nothing is truly by coincidence. Everything is really by design, divine assignment and appointment in our lives. As this opened up, it says, I once heard someone say, you need to be stubborn about the results you're going for, but very flexible on how you get there. And I know that's something you do talk about in cultures on as well, Janine, is we don't need to know the full plan. You just need to be write down your results, what you're truly going after. Because it can come many different ways, right? Whether it's financial blessings, any different way. I know just using my mom for an example, the different things that we may just talk about, just because something just happened for her, so it was an easy example for me this morning, talking about different financial goals and the different things she wanted to manifest in her life. And as the energy is put out there, the funny thing is, like, out of nowhere, so we thought nowhere, my mom's sitting at work, and they started yelling out and all of that, that it was more overtime available. So a lot of times you don't know how it's going to come. You just have to be open to whatever the result is. And there's still other ways that other things do come in for all of us, even for myself. But I thought that that was really powerful. You just have to be stubborn in the result that you're going for, but very flexible on how to get there. So on her off day, she had to be flexible, you know, about the result that she really did make in her mind. And that's really about overcoming under-earning. So I really thought that that was really powerful for us just to understand that. So decisions are like magnets. They draw opportunities to us, often disguised as synchronistic or coincidental events. You turn on the news, you step on a bus, you bump into a friend, you hear the phone ring, and absolutely out of nowhere, something or someone shows up that's exactly what we needed. So I'm sure there's times that we all can attest of things just really showing up in our lives. But that's a part of making a decision in what we're doing. So we have to stay open to the coincidence. And those are some of the things that we talked about in the one book. What was that, the Dynamic Laws of Prosperity by Katherine Ponder?
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about the different coincidences, or you may see a bird, or you may ask God for a specific sign, and you'll see it. So here it is in another book, two completely different methods of how we're going about it, but it pretty much is still the same thing, reminding us that we are truly magnets in our own lives. So whatever we're creating and co-creating in our lives is truly because of us, what we're magnetizing to ourselves. So I think it's really important that we are clear about our results and what we're going for, because at that moment you'll start attracting what you need at that moment into your life. So we just have to remain flexible on what we're doing, family, right? So one last thing I wanted to bring up here before we just have anybody else chime in and, you know, you share as well, Jen, is further down it goes on to talk about a quote by Carl Jung, which is Secrets of Six-Figure Women. if better is to come, good must stand aside. So let me read that again. It said, if better is to come, good must stand aside. That moves her to quit, declaring your intention and telling people all around you is really amazing. Before she even left her old job, she found a new one as a network manager for United Way in the metropolitan Atlanta. It's a nonprofit. It helps the community, but it runs like a business. And I actually am making more money. I have more responsibilities and opportunities to develop as a person and professional. So I just really wanted to pull that out as well because that was powerful for me. If better is to come, good must stand aside. So you know how we hear all the time, if you want great, you have to let the good go. So that's what stood out to me in regards to that. Is there anything that stood out to you in this part of coincidence listening, or anyone else had something to share?
Well, the one thing that stood out to me that I was just rereading as you were speaking, when in the part where it says, that's exactly what happened to voiceover artist Dave Evans, when he resolved to start valuing himself more. I had to reread that because I keep asking myself some questions. Where am I not valuing myself enough to bring in that desired space of income? And so I said, I know that's the answer. I know we've talked about that. And so I just reread it again. I don't know. And suddenly he had more work than he could handle. He said, I'm not into the woo-woo stuff, but I got calls out of the blue that brought in over $2,000. Kathleen Zacharias, age 25, was equally skeptical. She said, I didn't believe your comments about making a decision, declaring an intention. It just sounded so new age. She said, but it's true. It really works. You see, Kathleen had a high-paying job in the high-tech industry, but she was not happy. She wanted to be doing more to help people. But I came from an environment where helping people and making money really don't go hand in hand. And I was just like, I don't know that. I just wanted to reread that part. Wasn't valuing herself enough. And it was the question that came up. I taught a class last night on forgiveness, and I was telling forgiveness opens up your prosperity. The lady said, well, what does money have to do with forgiveness? And I had to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like really, just really focusing on that valuing part, that valuing over and over in my mind. When you've done all your forgiveness work, right, and you've done all the stuff, and you thought you were valuing yourself, and you're still not there, where is it that we may not be valuing ourselves? Or maybe it's not the question for anybody else. Maybe it's just a question for me. I don't know. That just stood out for me to reevaluate that.
Oh. Yes. I think that's powerful, though, and I think that's something that it should resonate for any of us, especially still overworked, you know, overcoming, under-earning, because remember that this is a prognosis that we all must take really serious, just like we would take cancer or any other condition. We really do have to look at every area of it, whether how we're showing up on the planet, and even when you read it, I'm like, my God, how did I even skip over that? Like, why was that not even highlighted? But as you read it, it slowed it down, and I was able to just highlight that one piece for myself. It's really valuing myself. So I think that's really powerful because that does help us shift the energy in the things that we accept to do and what we do magnetize to ourselves. And how we show up even on the planet. So I think that was powerful. Did anybody else have anything that they wanted to add on to it? You can press star 6 to come in or 1 from Blog Talk.
You go to Blog Talk. You know, it's interesting. The reason why I bring Dave Everett up because I reread the Grand Conundrum this morning. And it says you get what you really want, not what you ask for. And Dave Elvin was a voiceover artist, and he described it this way. that's this place I really want to get to, a lifestyle and income. And at the same time, I'm comfortable where I am. I just want to stay at my computer, stare at my computer and take jobs that trickle in. But like Dave, you may say you want more, but if you'd rather be safe and stay comfortable, are scared of what prosperity may do for your life. And I said, well, am I scared of what prosperity may do for my life? Do I distrust the people who are wealthy? Do I not believe I deserve it? Or do I see money as really the root of all evil? Then abundance isn't really what you want, she said. See, this sets us up for an inner discord that inscrutable, insidious, and often crazy-making. It also explains why affirmations, as powerful as they are, don't work. It's the grand conundrum. She says it's a normal human condition. According to psychologist Abraham Maslow, we all have two forces inside us, one that clings to safety and the other that pushes us forward. But as long as the former remains subliminally stronger, you're likely to find yourself hopelessly stuck. She said, how do you know what you truly want? She said, look at what's happening in your life right now.
My God.
If this is not what you want, if this is not what you say you want, then chances are good your goals are in conflict. And the reason why that stuck out, because one of the guys that I'm working with, he's mentoring, I told you he's making like over $100,000, $200,000 a month. He said, your life is a sum total of your belief system. Your life is a sum total of your belief system. I was like, wow. And then it gets back to that same point again, Chastity. She goes into all this stuff. And he says, then I realized, you made the wrong decision. Then make a different decision. Consciously, you might start by deciding to make money, but you may find there's a more fundamental decision that has to come first. Sherry Chanel, who had a big surge in income, said, I thought the decision was to make more money. No, that wasn't it. My decision first had to be that I was important, that I mattered, and that
That's
I good. Put myself first. And no matter where you go in this book, it's just little spurts of finding out that you are important, that you, in somewhere, is it still somewhere inside of us that we don't feel important, that we don't feel worthy, that we don't feel deserving, that we don't put ourselves first. I don't know, this unworthy thing, it just keeps sticking out in this whole little section that we're reading. And I was like, wow. Is the grand conundrum, is it really that simple just to say I'm important, I have value, I am worthy? Okay, that's all. I just wanted to connect the dots to cool.
No, that was a good connecting of dots. I was actually just waiting on a fire truck to go past me. Because you wouldn't have heard that I was saying. But, that was powerful. And when we think about it, that's all that they're continuing to say throughout the book. Like, remember, when we first started out in this book, one of the things she was even talking about is a lot of women, you know, and I had to attest to this for myself, is we spend a lot of time doing things and doing activities that do not bring in income. Hold one second, family. Janine, pick that back up real quick for me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was taking care of business. Thank you.
And this is what, in the second, she said changes in other. She said you can't segment your life. You can't slice it up like a piece and expect nothing to be different but your paycheck. She said, one woman told me taking charge of money really shook her up. It shook up her life. Sometimes the changes are positive, like losing weight or having more leisure, but other times they don't seem so rosy. Relationships turn rocky. Your job goes sour. Life in general feels out of control. But it's by dealing with those breakdowns, whatever they are, that breakthroughs occur. Change is an inevitable byproduct of your plan to overcome under-earning. Your task is to go with the flow rather than stick to the status quo. This chapter has just been really deep. But then she goes into resistance. She said there's a law of physics that says for every action, there's equal and opposite reaction. Every time you commit to a goal, something inside you refuses to comply. Resistance emerges as soon as you enter that discomfort zone. Spaces between where you are now and where you want to be. Trying to navigate this space may feel like you're paddling a canoe in a tempest, but the natural reaction will be return to dry land. Resistance kick in so we can stay comfy. Resistance is always strongest at the very beginning and right before you reach your goals. Those are the times you're most vulnerable to backsliding. Whew. Resistance. There go that word again. Where are we resisting? Where are we resisting moving from where we are to the place where we want to be? Where do we still, and you know, it's interesting how we'll still say we're valuing ourselves, we're important, but then the demonstration of life doesn't show us that. Wow, anybody want to make a comment, you star 6, or you press the 1 on Block Talk and let me know you want to come in. I just want to make sure. Good morning.
Good morning, Janine.
Good morning.
Janine, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, good morning, love. I would like to introduce a young lady to you. She's 23 years old. She's stuck at a dead-end job. She's miserable and unhappy. And I thought maybe the sisters could give her a word of encouragement to let her know that she doesn't have to stay in this, but she doesn't have to stay at a dead-end job, that she can do anything that she wants. It's within her means. It's within her grasp. Here she is right here. Her name is Karen.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, I guess we heard that you feel like you're stuck in a dead-end job, but, you know, it's about shifting your mind and deciding that you want something different and creating a plan. Create that plan for yourself. You have the power within you to change and shift whatever's going on in your world today. What's your name?
I'm Karen.
You said Carrie?
Karen, yes.
I don't know. I'm not getting a good hear, but it could be my phone.
Karen?
Oh, Karen.
Karen, yes.
Oh, okay, Karen. Well, that 23, baby, you just really beginning. The world is yours. And, you know, I do a segment on this thing called Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. And we had 40 young people who were rich and millionaires, and they were under 40. And most of them were under 30. It's just having the right idea, having the right mindset, knowing that you can do it, and creating a plan and go for it. And don't be afraid to go for it. That don't mean fear won't come up. It just means that you just got to do it with fear inside your heart, knowing that if you don't take the risk, and if you don't decide that you're worthy of taking the risk, then who will take the risk for you? You got to jump. You got to get out there and take that jump. All right, Cassie.
Yes, yes. Oh,
her name is
some
Karen.
Of the last things that we were just talking about.
Well, this is a young lady who's on Karen. She's from the East Coast, New York area, and she's 23, and she's in a stuck-in job, and she doesn't like the direction her life is going in right now. 23, she is. The world is hers, Cassie. You want to share a word with
us? Mm. Oh, my goodness. Karen, listen, the powerful thing about being 23 is you just go for it. Find out, really get clear about what do you really want to do at this point in your life. What are your values? What's most important to you? And go for that. Chase what you really, really, really desire and really want to do. I know if I could go back and tell my 23-year-old self anything, it would be to live fearlessly. The things that I've learned to do in my 30s, it took me time to build up this courage. But the life that I'm living now is the life I've always wanted to live. I just didn't have the courage to step out, and I didn't have anyone to tell me go for it. You don't need to know the entire plan. Just be willing to show up and do it. So I just encourage you with everything inside of you. What do you really, really, really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Write it down and go for that. Don't go for nothing else. I settled so many times in my life, and I went and worked for jobs that I absolutely did not want to do, and I sold myself into them because that was a normal thing to do. I came from a family where everyone worked a regular job. And so though I wasn't happy, that's what I did. So I just really, I say to you, honestly, especially in this day and age, go after your heart's desire, because truly at the end of the day, that's the only thing that'll make you happy. And if you're going to go through life's ups and downs, to me, you might as well go through it doing something that you do truly desire and love. So that's the only way that it matters in the end.
That's true. I absolutely agree. It's so easier to go through the changes when you live in life on your own terms. And sometimes you say at 23, you don't even know what you want, right? So I would say just to sit with your heart, put your hand over your heart and ask your heart, what will make you happy today? What could I do in life to bring you happiness? And start working from your own happiness. Start working life from your own happiness, from the place that makes you happy, from the place that brings you utter joy in your life. And when you, if you begin to start to live your life in that space, your life will always be about you living life from your own joy. And you owning your life. Own your life. Don't let nobody else own it. Don't give your power away. Own your life and know that everything you do and every choice you make, good, bad, or indifferent, is because you wanted to experience it. You wanted that to be your life. Own your life today and make your life what you want it to be by just stopping every so often and going within your heart and asking yourself, what can I do today? What is my assignment, Holy Spirit? What is my assignment, universe? What is the universe expressing through me that is so unique that only you can express through me, Holy Spirit, and show me and make it so clear that I can't make a mistake? And I tell you, you will be owning your own life. I wish somebody would have told me at 23. Even though I kind of lived my life on my own terms, I just was more about chasing money, though. It wasn't about living my life from a place of joy, a place of happiness. It was about making money, living large, having big cars, and you know, all that stuff. But really, it wasn't about, it was all about feeding my ego. So if I went back to 23, I'd say just do you and don't worry about the kind of cars and stuff. You just do you and have fun doing you. So from a mother of a 23-year-old, I would say to you, have fun doing you. Make that your motto. Have fun, do you, and have fun. Just have fun with it. Life can be fun, but we make it so serious. And at 23, you should be having fun with life. Look at ways that you can bring joy and have fun with your life. Just have fun with it. Anybody welcome to come in?
I want to
turn
this. I want to say something. This is Virginia. Hello, everyone.
Good morning. Uh-huh.
I'm a 25-year-old, and I have been the most supportive, encouraging mom. I've been on the call since 2011. Janine and many other sisters have encouraged me to help my 25-year-old daughter. There's no way I'm bragging about her. She's a girl. She's a human being. She's had ups and downs. Right now, she'll be walking across the stage receiving her PhD. I remember talking to Janine saying I didn't want her to go to the D.C. trip in, I think, the ninth grade, and she has more stamps on her passport than I do. What I want to say is get with someone that can encourage you, that pick someone, a life partner. This lady that recommended you to come to the call, don't lose her because she's in your corner. I think mentorship is the most important part for you. Pick your team, pick your, you know, I'm not saying get rid of all your friends, but pick a team that will encourage you to reach your goals. You have a, I wish I was 23. Wow, if I knew what I knew now at 23, I probably would be in another, somewhere on the beach with drinking my ties. I don't know, but what I just want to say is stay with the lady that recommended you for the call and build a team of mentors that can help you reach your goals. And I see the future because you've made the big step this, on this call. So good luck. And my prayers are with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, God. I appreciate you, bro.
Wow, that was beautiful, Gardenia. That's true. It's important that we all surround ourselves with people who have our best interests. It's important that we surround ourselves with people who can be the wind beneath our wings and see our greatness. And even when we are at our lowest, somebody can remind you of your greatness. So today, family, that might be something we should think about. You never know what somebody's going through. You never know, just because they're smiling and just because they come to the line or just because you're in their face and they're smiling, you never know. So send somebody something to remind them of their greatness today. They just might need it. I don't know, that just came to my mind. So somebody needs you to send them something today, family. Whoever comes to your mind and send them something and they've been a blessing to you, just send them something today, a text, a call, or a card that says, you're valuable. And you mean something to me today. And your greatness shines. Just hold on. Just hold on. Family, somebody need that today. All right. Any more questions, comments, concerns? Let me look at Blog Talk. Okay, no one at Blog Talk. All right, Chastity. We're at the top of the hour if you want to give us your last thoughts.
Yes, today was definitely good. I wish I could, everything happens for a reason, right? Well, definitely, the only thing I really want to leave off with is walking away with our journal exercises for this weekend. Though we didn't have an opportunity to really discuss them today, I really want us to be mindful of them. And the general exercise is to keep a running list of all coincidence, even the so-called bad experiences can, in the long run, have positive outcomes. Now that you're aware, are you seeing more synchronicity occurring than ever before? Write that down. And why do you think that is? I would love for us to be able to pick this back up next week and talk about and just being aware of the coincidence that happened in our lives after we actually make that decision in our lives to overcome it under earning. And then next week we'll pick up on the changes in other areas of our lives by actually making that decision. I thank you all for actually showing up today, participating. Thank you so much for the young lady on the line. Definitely always be mindful of our friends, family, everyone that you associate with at this point. One thing that I also do encourage you in is it's okay to let some people go for a season in your life as you become very clear about who you are. And we always evolve, so don't feel like what you decide today is who you'll be at 50. You still have time to evolve all the time. So it's just making a decision, what'll make your heart the most happy, and find someone that'll really be able to coach you and mentor you and encourage your heart during those times. Family, let's do the work. Let's do the journal exercise so we'll really have some great conversation next week. Not only great conversation, but really start making a breakthrough for overcoming under-earning. I thank you so much for your time. If you need me for any of your insurance needs or financial needs for retirement, definitely you're able to reach out to me directly at 614-230-6600. Again, my direct contact number is 614-230-6600. As always, thank you so much, Love Journey, for your time, for this opportunity to be able to serve on the line with you. Thank you so much, Blog Talk. I love you, Denise. Love you, Mom. Thank you.
Love you, too, Chastity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, family. We're going to get ready and get out of here, reminding you that your life is a gift from God, knowing that what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. Remember to dream your God-sized dreams and live them and have fun doing them. You know, I always have to play some kind of motivation. So as you listen to this motivational process today, remember that we get to choose. I know sometimes it seems like we're in this race and it's hard to get out that race, but you can if you just decide. Today's family, decide that you want to get out of that race. It's called You Will Win Motivation.
I'm not coach right now. I'm your conscience. You're in a fight between will and skill. I say will first because that's where you are. You locked and loaded with skill. You practicing every day. You putting in your work. You buying everything. You making the investment. You living your dream. You walking like your dream. You surrounding yourself around your dream. You got mentors, everything. You putting your work in. You got your skill. Now it's a test of your will. It's a mindset thing you in right now. It's a mindset thing. Because your challenge ain't moving. Your mountain is not moving. You don't feel like you're making any progress. You're not physically moving when you see everything else around you and other people around you moving. You're not making progress. You're in the test of your will right now. Because life says it has a little more test for you. It's no different because we've messed up, because you fell off the wagon, you've been on alcohol and drugs, and you gave up on life, and you dropped out, or you've been to jail one time, two times, three times, and you really want your dream to happen, and you're putting in your work, and nothing's happening yet.
Every transformation always gets worse before it gets better. It's supposed to be that way. When you embark this journey, you must know that it's going to go down before it comes up. But when it comes up, it's going to go so much higher than you've ever been.
The action of making progress is progress. The push itself, the fight, you get up and swing and miss, that's progress. You get up and you run at what you want with everything you got and you miss, that's progress. The effort of making the attempt is progress. It must happen. It can't do anything but move. You can do anything but make progress. You're pushing, and you're pushing, and you're pushing, and you're pushing, and you're doing everything right. You're tired, you're exhausted, and ain't nothing happening yet. That word is what you're waiting for. Yet. Because I promise you, if you keep pushing, if you keep giving me all your effort, it will happen.
You have to be equipped mentally to endure this process. Knowing what you're about to go into is step one. Knowing it's an uphill battle, but a winnable one and one that's achievable. And at the end of this race, guys, you're going to be more capable. The first step, guys, is knowing it's a tough road.
As soon as you decide to stop looking for answers in other people and miracles somewhere down the yellow brick road and click the heels of your mind and set your affections on things that are above, you could have been free years ago. All jealousy, all pettiness, all unforgiveness, all strife, all malice, all confusion, all blaming other people for your mistake. You got till midnight to get rid of every poison that's hindering you, every inflexibility that's stopping you from what God is about to pour into your life. Woe be unto you if you go into another year and waste another year with the old mentality while somebody's in the hospital begging God for the opportunity that you have right now. You better step into this moment.
Woo. You better step into this moment. Wow. I tell you, God is good. God is amazing. You will win, family. You just got to keep pushing. We got to keep pushing, family. We got to keep pushing. We got to keep pushing. Let's listen to Michael Jordan.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jordan.
Every day, the first person there before the sun would be Jordan. And he was there because he wasn't good. He would work with a batting instructor and work all day long and be the last person to leave every night also. I asked him what it was like for him in the morning, and Jordan said, I get up before the sun comes up, and I make myself some breakfast by myself. He was down there alone. And I get in the car, and I'm driving to spring training, and there's no one really out on the roads yet. And I look at the seat next to me, and I see my dad. And I talk to him. I think to myself, Pops, we're doing this. We're doing this together. And the day would end, and he would say to the batting instructor, can we do a little more? I think I'm getting this. I think I'm learning this. I think I'm getting this. And that's when Sports Illustrated put him on the cover, saying that Michael Jordan has embarrassed baseball. And as I would watch him there every night as the sun was going down and the other ballplayers had left, and I would see this guy working to get better, Michael Jordan working to get better, I couldn't help thinking that if you ever have children, you ought to pray that they grow up someday to embarrass you like this.
What it did teach me was don't be afraid to try. The worst thing that can happen is it doesn't pan out the way that you envision it. But at least you know that by giving it a shot.
You never succeed without that possibility of failure. I mean, each time that I do something, I can go in or I can lose. You know? And it's that inner confidence that you got to have to take that chance.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game winner. That my game was built on flash and not fire. Maybe it's my fault that you didn't see that failure gave me strength, that my pain was my motivation. Maybe I led you to believe that basketball was a God-given gift and not something I worked for every single day of my life. Maybe I destroyed the game. Or maybe you're just making excuses.
Everything that I've done in my life, I've taken a chance in either succeeding at it or failing at it. But I've taken that chance, and I will not let the opportunity of failure stop me from doing something that I truly, truly enjoy doing.
Jones to Jordan, left the top of the key, shoots from there, he scores! Jordan scores! Jordan scores! The Wizards win 93-92!
Had a lot of fantastic moments in sports. What's the greatest moment?
I mean, what started everything? You
don't say that. Don't say the shot against you.
Yeah, that was the greatest moment because I think that took me from a. If I had any doubts about playing on college level or playing with the big guys, you know, that shot gave me the confidence that I belonged where I was. You know, and that it was, you know, if you put your mind to doing whatever you want to do, you know, good things can happen. You know, so. Before anything else happened with Michael Jordan outside of that game and against you guys, that shot gave me the idea that I could be better than what people think and I can, you know, surpass any expectations that I may have for myself.
Let me turn it. What's your greatest disappointment in sports?
I haven't had any disappointments. I mean, you know, sports is a tool that teaches. You know, and it teaches you bad things. It can also teach you good things. It's how you perceive those things. I've looked at every experience that I've had, negative and positive, and taken that as a positive. You know, if I wouldn't change anything because I think it would alter some of the other things that happened. You know, so when I look back, I can't say that I've had any bad things happen. Sure, I mean, you don't want bad things to happen, but you deal with bad things. You can't have good or without bad.
Who's your favorite guy to play against?
Myself. If I can really elaborate on why I said myself more so than another athlete, is that because a lot of times I had to battle with myself to keep challenging myself. You know, that to me was why I would say the biggest battle was myself, because when you get to a certain pinnacle, you got to find some ways to keep going out there for 82 games. my competitive drive is far greater than anyone else that I've met. You know, I think that I thrive on that. I think that's my biggest motivation in life, you know, is to compete, you know, find different competitions and certain things in life and try to overcome that, you know, be it positive or negative. But I have yet to meet someone who is as competitive as me, you know, and I just feel that much confident about my competitive drive.
I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career.
I think what made him so special as a marketing icon is that he was natural. Today, when everyone really tries to be like Mike, they're trying so hard to invent a persona. I think that people see through that and it doesn't stand the test of time.
I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed.
He runs his corporate empire from high atop Chicago, the city that made him famous.
Could you have imagined when you first started playing that one day you'd be sitting up here running a company that's worth $500 million?
No. I never really thought about it. All I thought about was doing what I was good at and letting that open up a lot of opportunities for me and choosing from that point on.
Michael, which were you more proud of, your athletic skills or the mental skills that you brought to the game, and which was more difficult to keep up?
The mental skills came with the education of the game, you know, that either I learned from Coach Smith before I got here or I learned in the course of the coaching staff that I've been endured with. The mental part is hard because you have to really learn taking everything that you've learned over a period of time and apply that to your game and tie that into the physical aspect to your game and make the complete basketball player that you try to become. You know, so physically it's a little bit easier, but the mental part is the hardest part, and I think that's the part that separates the good players from the great players.
There's a lot of conversations about what your game is capable of achieving. And I'm a firm believer that if you have a good game, your game is going to say that. You know, you don't have to say it. So I guess it's trying to play down some of the trash talking, you know, animosity that's between in words and the whole promotional thing. Let your game be your promotion, your marketing tool. And that was our whole era, you know. Our game gave the labels of what our basketball skills were. And then the marketing came around that. Now it's changed, you know. So I'm trying to revert back to where your game do all your talking instead of what we may say and what someone else may say about your game.
As you leave the game, what message do you want to leave to young athletes that are coming on?
Be true to the game, because the game will be true to you. If you try to shortcut the game, then the game's going to shortcut you. If you put forth the effort, you know, good things will be bestowed upon you. You know, that's truly about the game. And in some ways, that's about life, too.
One day you might look up and see me playing the game at 50. Oh, don't laugh. None of that. Never say never. Because limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. Thank you very much.
He said limits are often like fears. They're just an illusion. All right, family, have a good weekend. Know I love you. Know God loves you. And keep doing you. Have fun doing you. And to all our veterans and to all those who served our country, we send lots of love. Have a great weekend, family.